Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. I have SMA Type 2, and I am a columnist and forums director for SMANewsToday.com. Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer, and joining me today is Danielle Johnson from Evansville, Indiana. Danielle is a full-time mom, and her son Anthony has type 0 SMA, which is an extremely rare type, and really excited to talk with her and her family story. So, Danielle, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, before we get started, if everyone could please listen to a brief word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Genentech, the makers of a treatment for SMA. Whether you are living with SMA or are the parent to a child with SMA, make a choice today that could impact your future. Visit treatmysma.com to see why treatment matters.
Okay, so Danielle, to get started, can you just tell listeners a little bit about yourself and your family story?
So we have four boys. Anthony is our youngest. He will be 3 this Sunday, September 4th. Our oldest is 19. And then we have a 9 and 13 year old. So he's the baby. He's pretty spoiled. But we all just live life and just try to keep him happy and healthy.
Sure. Absolutely. And I know about being the baby. I'm the baby of 3 and like I'm 28, but that title always remains.
Right.
So Danielle, as I mentioned in the intro, Anthony has type 0, which is incredibly rare. Like even for myself, as someone who's been really immersed in the SMA community for a long time, I can't think off the top of my head if I've ever met any families who have someone with type 0. So can you talk about that and the diagnosis stage, just all of that and how you were told?
So being diagnosed, we were already inpatient in the hospital when he was born. We knew he had a heart defect and that he was going to need heart surgery pretty soon after birth. So he was 5 days old and he had heart surgery on his, he had a co-arc repair and he has a condition called Schoen's complex. So while he was actually in heart surgery, we were in the surgery waiting room, me and his dad, Derek, and the neurologist came to the surgery waiting room and told us that our baby had something on his newborn screening come back positive for SMA and that we should just let him go. So we had never heard of SMA. I had no clue what she was even talking about. I didn't know what SMA stood for. So she said there was treatments but that we wouldn't be able to afford them. And that a hit for him, it would be best to just let him go. And we immediately said, no, you know, if there's treatments, then we can't afford them. We'll fight for them. We'll figure it out. We'll fundraise. We'll do something. We ended up getting treatment for him, though. He got the first 4 loading doses of Spinraza within the first 2 months of life. And then he didn't get anything else until he was 4 months old. He got Zolgensma. And then in October of 2020, he started Evrysdi. And it has been just go, go, go from there. That boy does not stop.
Well, I was about to say, so if he's 3, so was he born in 2019?
Yes.
So that was like right at a time where, I mean, Spinraza had been approved about 3 years before.
Right.
And then I think Zolgensma, was it that year? I'm trying to remember.
I think it was that year. It had just been FDA approved.
Yeah.
So he couldn't have been born at a better time to have SMA.
I was about to say it's crazy how that all lines up your healthcare team said that it wouldn't be able to afford and all that. What steps did you take then to get approval, get on treatment? Like what was that process like?
So it was a very lengthy process. Actually, the neurologist we had at the time did not want to fight for treatment. She didn't want to apply for it. So we finally got her to apply for Zolgensma. And of course, they denied it. And they give you 10 days to appeal it. And she told us that she had put the appeal in. And on the 12th day, she told us that she actually didn't put the appeal in. So I had to go and write the appeal myself and beg our insurance. He has Indiana Medicaid, and beg them to relook at it, please. Otherwise, they weren't, you know, once that 10-day process is up, it's up. So it was a fight for sure.
And I mean, I know it's an overwhelming time when you're going through diagnosis and all of that, but were you able to at all connect with other SMA parents or families during that process?
Oh, yes. I don't really remember how that got started, but the first mom that I met actually lives right there in the Indianapolis area where we were at. She came straight to the hospital after connecting with me on social media, and she stood by my side and fought with me through everything. And she would bring me coffee or clean pajamas. We were in the hospital for 8 months, and I was 3 hours away from home with him. So we didn't have any other family in the state of Indiana. All our families in Tennessee and Texas. The other SMA moms have really, they are my family. They've all become family.
Absolutely. It's just a really tight-knit community. And
it
and
is.
Like you said about in terms of the best time to join it, I mean, it's easier now than ever to get plugged in, and because of social media and so many resources out there. But going back for a sec, so Anthony's your fourth child. Was this your, I mean, obviously it was your first exposure to SMA. Was this your first exposure to disability at all? Or like what's kind of, have you had any other?
It was a whole new world for us. So now Anthony's dad has a foster brother that was disabled and a foster sister. So he knew about like trachs and vents and different things, but I had never actually like been around them myself. So it was all brand new to me. Now I feel like I'm a pro. I could be a respiratory therapist, but it was a whole new world, and I did not know how to embrace it. I was very scared. I was scared for Anthony's future, for his brothers. I didn't know how they would react to all of it. And I basically shut down right there in the hospital. I didn't know what to do. If it wasn't for Adrian, the other mom, I don't know how we would have pulled through.
Yeah. I was going to ask that, kind of like what helped you get through, and what was that journey like becoming, because like you said, now you feel like you're a pro at this. What was the journey like for you as a parent, becoming, you know,
there was expert? A lot of training involved at the hospital, and you know, once you agree to trach your child or have a G-tube, there's, you know, a lot of training involved with that. And the nurses and doctors that they have for that are absolutely amazing. They do this on the daily. So they really helped. And they helped in like supporting the family and like engaging his brothers in like with the G-tube and the trach, and, you know, how to maybe silence the vent or how to do the trach ties, or, you know, they were very engaging with the family. So that way his brothers wouldn't be scared of him when he came home.
Well, that was my next question is like, you mentioned that the anxieties of like, how am I going to talk to this to my other kids? And so what has it been like for your family adapting to life with SMA?
Now it's an everyday thing. It's mm-hmm. not an issue. Like my 9-year-old comes home and washes his hands and changes his clothes and goes straight to the crib. He goes right over to Anthony and wants to play ball with him or read him a story. And the funniest thing, every day when he comes home from school, he'll say, "Mom, can you call the SMA moms? Because we know God hears their prayers." And he says, we need them to pray for Addie at school or so-and-so at school. And he knows, you know, SMA moms are just, when we come together, there's no stopping us.
That's really cool. And yeah, I mean, again, speaking as someone who has older siblings without SMA too, it's just, I mean, it just becomes part of their normal too, you know.
My 13-year-old actually told me yesterday, "Mom, when something happens to you and Dad, I'll take Anthony. Don't worry about it. I already know how to take care of him, and he can just live with me."
That's
so
really
hopefully,
cool.
you know, that won't be like another 30, 40 years, but okay, let's not jump on something happening to mom and dad right away.
You've got that assurance for down the road, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One says he's taking the dog and the other one says he's taking Anthony. So
yeah,
we've got it worked out.
That's awesome. And then, so going back to a minute for the treatment journey. So you said that he's been on all three of them.
Yes.
What has that been like transitioning to each one? And has there been any that you think he's responded better to? Or just what's that whole journey been like?
I feel like Spinraza kept him alive long enough to get Zolgensma because he was so weak. He had no movement at birth. He could move his eyeballs and that was it. He couldn't breathe on his own. You know, we went straight for the G-tube to have that done because there was no way to get nutrition. So Spinraza did amazing, you know, in the beginning. But then we were told in order to apply for Zolgensma and to receive it, we would also have to stop Spinraza. So I told the neurologist right then and there, okay, we're stopping Spinraza. I mean, if that's what we have to do. I had watched like YouTube videos and things of other kids that had received Zolgensma and it just looked like a miracle. So we stopped Spinraza. He received his last loading dose in November of 2019. And then he received Zolgensma in January of 2020. And then Eversty was approved of August of 2020 and he was able to start it in October, like the beginning of, I think it was October 8th was our first dose. And I have seen him gain so much strength and stamina. He's, that boy can stay awake for like 17 hours straight and keep going. So I feel like he's doing amazing. He can't sit unsupported yet. But if I hold him sitting up, he can hold his own head up for a good 30, 45 minutes. When he first started, he could do it for about 3 seconds. So we've worked up to that. He can lift his legs and arms all the way up over his head. He puts his toes in his mouth. he's very flexible and he is always on the go. There's not one moment when he's awake that a body part isn't moving all the time.
That's really cool. And he receives Evrysdi through the G-tube. Is that how it's administered?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But yeah, no. And what is it like to see, you know, having been told, you know, his initial life expectancy and that he wouldn't move to now seeing him do all these things and have more independence and stability?
It's a miracle. It's amazing. You know, we were told anywhere from a month to 2 years, he may live. And he came home the first time in March of 2020 and he was on BiPAP at the time. But he went into respiratory failure pretty quick after being home. And that's when I had told his dad, I was like, we need a trach. I don't, you know, that's a stable airway. That's the only way I know to help him. So he got his trach in the end of May of 2020. And he came home in June and he has not been back in the hospital since at all. He has been completely well. And he can actually take sprints off his ventilator now. It's a miracle. Just looking at him every day and I'm just amazed.
That's awesome. No, thanks for sharing. Well, Danielle, we'll continue in just a minute, but if everyone could first listen to one more brief word from our sponsor.
This podcast is made possible by Genentech, the makers of a treatment for SMA. If you're living with SMA, the subtle changes that happen from one day to the next can be hard to notice until a key function is lost. Many people find that these changes can impact their life, not just physically, but also emotionally. Since the progression of SMA is relentless, taking action now is important. If you've waited to go on treatment or were told there were no treatments for you, now might be the time to talk to your doctor. Breakthroughs in science have led to more options than ever before in treatment and care. Choosing a disease-modifying treatment can make a difference. Why wait? Visit treatmysma.com to see why treatment matters.
Okay, so Danielle, thank you for sharing all this and about his treatment journey and where he is now. Can you talk now a little bit about your daily life? So both for you, the rest of your family, what is kind of, and I know now school's back in full swing. And so what does a day look like for you and Anthony and the rest of your family?
So his dad works all day, every day. He gets home between 7 and 9 p.m. usually. My mom actually moved in with us the day before Anthony was born. She came to actually just stay with the other boys while we were at the hospital with Anthony. And we were told 2 to 3 weeks we would be there, you know, for his heart surgery. But then we got the diagnosis and everything. So mom, she ended up giving up her house and everything. And just she stayed this whole time. So that helps a lot. I'm able to like leave to go get groceries and, you know, pick the kids up from school or take them to school. I help coach baseball for my 9-year-old. So it's been a huge help having her. But so daily life with him, we have therapies 3 days a week. We have to keep working and keep him moving. And we get him up every day out of bed, every day, and put him in his chair. He has to have a special kind of seat, though, that supports him well, and a special back brace. And he has ankle and foot braces and just all kinds of things. But he really tolerates them pretty well. He just goes with the flow. He's always a happy kid, always, always. There's very few times this baby ever cries. And it's really only like if he's like overtired or if he has a messy diaper. That's it.
That's really cool. And then what about your other kids? Like, where are they? School? Because you mentioned your older one. Are they in college?
No, he is off doing his own thing. He's nice. 19. Can't tell him nothing. He knows it right now. So, you know, he's at that age. And then my 13-year-old, he'll actually be 14 September 12th, right after Anthony. So we usually celebrate their birthdays together. He wants to. He loves celebrating with them. And he's actually virtually in school right now. So he's home with me all the time also. So that's been, he was homeschooled last year also. So this is his second year home. I would love for him to go back to school, but I feel like he wants to be home with Anthony. So I don't push the subject right now. He's doing amazing and making, you know, good grades. So you just keep him home with them. And I feel like he just doesn't want to leave his side too much.
Sure. The sibling dynamic is really powerful there.
It is. I've never seen a bond so strong with such a tiny little boy.
That's really cool. Yeah, that's awesome. And with you, before Anthony was born, were you stay-at-home mom then as well? Or
no, I actually worked full-time. I was an assistant manager for McDonald's. And so I had to stop working. I actually was put on bed rest during my pregnancy because there was so many issues during in utero. So I had actually had to stop right before he was born. And Anthony was actually a twin.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He was a twin, and we were going in for an ultrasound one morning, and I woke up and knew something immediately was wrong. So we went ahead and went into the doctor and had the ultrasound done. And I told him, you know, like, I know he's not there. And they said, you're right. One isn't, but one is. And I was like, what in the world are you talking about? And I thought Derek was going to pass out. He literally went into the bathroom. He was white as a ghost, pouring down sweat. He had no idea. Derek's also a twin. So it was,
oh, wow,
a lot to take in.
Oh, gosh. I can only imagine. But yeah.
And now I feel like Anthony actually looks more like Derek's twin and their dad than he does Derek. He takes after them for sure.
It's wild how genetics work, and like especially once kids get a little older and they do come into that, you can see who they look like and everything. It's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so now That you get, you know, he's been on everything for a while and he's got more stability. It like, what are the conversations like with Anthony's healthcare team and as far as plans for future and helping him continue to live as best he can?
So we actually just saw his team. We used Norton's Children's Hospital in Louisville, Kentucky. And we were talking with his pulmonologist, and yes, he can take sprints off the vent and he does really well with it. But with cold and flu season coming up, he wants to kind of put that on hold. We're not in any hurry to come off the vent. You know, when we decided to trach him, that was, you know, a lifetime commitment. So if it takes 3 to 5 years, great. If he never comes off, cool. It's not an issue with us anymore. So his neurologist is just amazed. Every time we go to clinic, she just looks at him and just like in awe, because she just doesn't understand, none of us do, how he is doing so amazing and being a type zero. They all basically just pat us on the back and tell us, you know, you keep doing what you're doing. He's doing great.
Are there or does he use a chair at all, or is he mainly like stand? But what's that like, or is there conversations about that?
We've been talking with PT. They want to get him a stander to start bearing weight. There's so many good things, you know, just being in the upright position, and that could help him. So we are working with PT to get him a stander right now. He doesn't have a like a wheelchair or anything yet. He has a special tomato chair, and it has like the solid base, and it has a base with wheels also. So we can kind of put him in that and roll him around the house with, you know, with his brothers, no big deal. He does have like a stroller, an adapted stroller, but I don't think any of us really like it, so it doesn't get used a whole lot. We have his wagon, and we use that a lot with him. And he has a swing outside that's like a like lays flat, so we can lay him in that, and he does amazing in it. So, but no, we don't have like a power chair. I don't think he's ready for that exactly. I don't think he's, you know, after being in the hospital basically the first year of his life, he was home, you know, here and there in between, but he is developmentally delayed from that. You know, you got to think, if he's turning 3, really, he's only been home 2 years. So we take a lot of that into account. But I'm telling you, these SMA kids are smart. They are smart, and I adore every one of them that I've ever met. I've met a couple, and they are just amazing.
I was gonna say, I hope you and your family are able to get to a conference at some point. It's always a really cool experience there.
I would love to, but they're just always so far away. We haven't traveled with him before, and being on a vent, I'm scared.
Oh, I don't blame you. There's a ton of logistics to work out, and even as a, you know, stronger type two, traveling as a disabled person, no matter what, is comes with many obstacles. But and as far as like therapy and everything, do you do everything at home, or do you take him in to do any kind of PT?
They've all been at home right now, through First Steps, but First Step stops at 3 years old. So now we're having to transition to through the school system. But in talking with them, they're actually able to come to the house also. It won't be as in depth as it was with the First Steps 3 days a week. It might be one for 30 minutes a week, but we've learned a lot from the therapists, and they've given us tons and tons of direction. And so I think hopefully it'll be okay. I'm not gonna let him just lay in the bed and not do anything. He's gonna get up and work no matter what.
Oh, sure. I mean, I think talking with a number of parents and from my own experiences too, like you kind of figure out what routine works and whether you're having a regular kind of therapist come in or do it on your own, you kind of figure it out as you go. But yeah. And
They said
one with
we could
that.
choose like a private place, but that we would have to drive him there and back. And I won't drive alone with him right now. I just don't, with being on a vent and having a trach, it's just not safe. So with his dad having to work, I won't take that chance. So we're gonna do whatever we can to keep it in home as best as possible.
And with that too, do you get any kind of caregivers or nursing assistants, or is it pretty much just like you guys as his full-time
So
caregivers?
we used to get nursing through Medicaid, and it was 5 days a week. But then when the kids started back to school last year, they stopped it and said that because the kids were back in school and that I wasn't working, we didn't need any nursing. And so that was a huge transition to go from a nurse 5 and 6 days a week to none. And then now we do get it, but it's through our waiver, and it's 3 days a week for 7 hours a day. So I can at least like go get groceries or take my mom, to get dinner or whatever. And it gives my mom a little break too, because if not, mom's stuck here 24/7 while I do all the running. So we have the most amazing nurse, and
Right.
she actually drives an hour and a half to come be here. So yeah, it's been a struggle with trying to get it all figured out, but it all works.
Oh, I'm just rolling my eyes at like because I we all deal with it the when government programs the way they decide when you do and don't need. I'm
When
just
you need
like,
it and when you
yeah,
don't,
yeah.
right.
Oh, your kids are back in school, so now you don't, I'm like, what the
That
fuck?
was
'Cause
literally what it said. It said because my kids were in school full time, I didn't work and I wasn't disabled, that we didn't need a nurse anymore.
right. So
So.
yeah, you're perfectly fine. Yeah, it's just the same thing with those of us who are adults. I'm working, and that determines how many hours you get. And I'm like, it's like we're working, and we want that doesn't mean we're suddenly not disabled. We still need this. Like, if anything, we need
Right.
more when we're trying to be independent and contributing to society. But yeah.
Indiana did start a new program though for parents of disabled children. If they have like a trach or a G tube, that the I think it's through the waiver though. It is. It's through our waiver. We're on the aged and disabled waiver. And so they're actually paying parents as caregivers now. And
That's
so
awesome.
I'm getting paid to actually be home and take care of him, which it's supposed to help replace like an income that I would be making if I was working. So it's been amazing. It's a
That's
blessing for
awesome.
sure.
That's awesome. No, I know there are other programs like that in different states, and yeah, it's just a matter of going through. I can rant all day about the inconsistencies and the loopholes and stuff, but it's a matter of
Right.
like you find what works, and so that's really great. Well, Danielle, this has been great. And just wrapping up here, do you have any message you want to share with others in the community listening, particularly other parents who may have gone through the same things you've had to deal with, or for down the road as well?
When a doctor tells you no, don't listen. Find your way. Ask other parents. Don't take no for an answer. So we've had no's left and right since he was born, and I've turned all of them to yeses with the help of other moms, because I didn't know how to navigate any of this on my own in the beginning. But now I feel like we all just can help each other. And just when a doctor tells you no, don't take that as a solid no.
Oh, absolutely. You don't mess with SMA parents or anyone in the community. Just we
They're
will
like the
fight. Yeah.
strongest, most hard-headed ladies ever, and I love it.
That's awesome. Well, Danielle, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your story. And I don't know if you're do you have any kind of social media you want to plug, or I know because some parents do have the public profiles. I don't know if you do anything like that.
Anthony, I have a page for Anthony that anybody that would like to follow, and it's called Anthony Wade's Way with SMA.
Awesome. We'll link that in the description. But yeah,
All right.
awesome. Well, Danielle, thank you so much again. This has been great. And for our listeners out there, you can listen to more conversations like this by subscribing to the SMA News Today podcast. You can also connect with us directly on our forums and follow our main website at smanewstoday.com for the latest SMA news and perspectives. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. Take care.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com and be sure to follow us on social media and join our SMA News Today forums. a trusted SMA community ready to welcome you anytime.